Go again.
3, 2, 1.
Live.
What is going on, guys? We're here for a bonus episode for the Movement for Life podcast. I'm here. My name is Colby Christofik, and I'm here with my co-host, JR.
Yes,
and
hello.
We have a special guest today, Mr. Jeremy Cousins, which we will get into in just a second. We'll do some introductions. Today, we are talking in about 24.2. And before I let Jeremy kind of talk a little bit about himself, I want to give a brief overview. I've known Jeremy for maybe, I don't know, 6, 7 years now, quite a little while.
Right.
And he is the owner of CrossFit Thousand Oaks in Thousand Oaks, which is pretty close to us. We're about 30 minutes away from us. And he's been the owner since what year?
2015.
So that's might be right around when we met as well. He's also an awesome athlete, a really fun guy to be around. And without further ado, Jeremy Cousins, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, he pretty much covered it. Jeremy Cousins, I've owned CrossFit Thousand Oaks since November of 2015. Was a coach there and another place down in Redondo Beach. But I really got my start at CFTO coaching as an athlete, falling in love with this whole thing. And to make a long story very, very short, when we took it over, it was almost on a whim, but my business partner, Chase, and I, we're in our 20s, didn't have much going on. And we're like, hey, we love this thing. We don't want to see it fall away. So let's try our hand at it. And best decision we ever made. Absolutely love it. So that's been over 8 years now and still growing. A couple of years ago in 2021, moved it to a new, bigger building and kind of blew the roof off of it from there. So this past couple of years have been our biggest and best years. But the mission's still the same. We get to find people that don't think fitness is for them and show them that they're wrong and that it is.
That's I love that. And your guys' new space is so cool. I love your guys' new space. That was such a massive and needed upgrade for you guys.
Was it an old fire station?
No, I think once upon a time it was like an auto garage, like car storage thing.
Yeah.
And then another fitness facility had moved in there. And so they moved out in a hurry. So it was actually primed and ready to be a CrossFit gym. Just needed a couple coats of paint and a lot of elbow grease and cleaning. But other than that, we had the bay doors, had the rubber floor. We were ready to go.
Nice.
JR, do you have anything else that you want to ask Mr. Cousins before we get into 24
yes.
point?
I was just going to ask, what do you do to encourage involvement or participation in the open at your gym?
So trying to promote it early definitely helps. And it's due to the nature of our clientele, we are not, you know, I throw up the air quotes on this, like a heavy competition gym, but we treat it more as like a celebration of what fitness is and how far you've come. So with newer athletes, it's like, hey, we're going to lay a baseline down. So a year from now, you're going to be able to have tangible evidence of all that you've accomplished over this past year. And athletes that have been a while, it's kind of like a nice annual quiz on like, okay, what have I been doing? Have I been working my mobility? Have I been working my engine? Have I improved my lifts? Can I do this? Can I do that? Whatever the case may be. So we kind of spark the fire a little bit and the members take it and go. I can honestly say this, we have 55 athletes, which is about a third of our membership officially signed up this year. And that's the biggest we've ever had.
Whoa.
And I can't say I did that much for it. I mean, we got probably 10 people on board and they did the rest. So if you want to, in short, foster a good community that likes to play with each other and they'll do it for you.
I love that. I think we are also on the same board as you. We don't fancy ourselves an ultra competitive type of space. And not that there's anything wrong with that. That's just not who, you know, we want to work with and kind of have our space around. But you're absolutely right. Like this, there's still tons of value for something like the Open for people who aren't trying to aspire to be at the games. So I think that's super cool. Sweet. Without further ado, Mr. Jeremy, tell us what we are going to be doing tomorrow.
So I hope you like picking things up. You're going to be doing it a lot again. We're going to sit on the rower and do some deadlifts and some jump ropes. So we got 20 minutes. It's kind of the antithesis of last week. We were pushing the pace last week, going up and down real quick, trying to knock that thing out in under 10 minutes. Now, for better or worse, you're in it for 20. We got as many rounds as possible in 20 minutes, 300 meters on our rowers, 10 deadlifts, 185 for the gentlemen, 125 for the ladies, and then 50 double unders or 50 singles for the scaled, which is a long time. I mean, that's a lot of rounds. We had a couple athletes go at it right after it was announced. And the zero prep time, just warm up and go. And watching them go through it, you know, you see the wheels turning in these athletes where they're three rounds in and be like, oh no, 12 minutes to go. You say, let's keep trucking. And, so this is going to bring out something different in athletes, a little bit of mental toughness, a little bit of strategic play with pacing and being able to just hold on rather than push like last time.
Ooh. I love that. Those are some good initial thoughts. Kind of hearing the almost polar opposite of instead of push, hold on. That's a really good analogy. I like that. JR, do you have any initial thoughts for 24.2?
Okay. I'm going to speak for the smaller athletes with like smaller, lower bodies. 185 is not a heavy weight for me to pull over a short amount of time, though. When you combine this with the row to drive our feet like we're doing a leg press, and then we obviously have that same motion when we have the deadlift. So in comparison of a couple rounds doing the jump rope in addition to that, which the jump rope, if you're good at jump ropes, it's going to take somewhere around 30 seconds, you know, for an unbroken set of those 50. So I went through four different times. I did two rounds with my damper set low at 4. And then I would follow it with just eliminating the deadlifts and just doing the jump ropes and going back and then doing two rounds with it at 9. And I only found the difference between the pulls would be like 6 or 7 seconds, actually. I'm just not that great of a rower. So is it, you know, for me, it doesn't matter if I'm going to do it at 1:09 or 1:14 in the, you know, what's going to be my payoff. And I feel like going a little slower with the damper set low is going to be better for me because I'm going to be able to get off. My legs did not feel as fried after those rounds at the lower damper, though I could tell that I'm using them more because I have more back and forth. So I think for me and for smaller athletes, that's something to consider. We also have to consider that we shouldn't hold on to the handle really tightly. It needs to be a little light of a pull, whether you want to play with a mixed grip. I tend to like to go wide and out almost to the side sometimes just to kind of keep that grip, because when I jump rope, I'm doing them fast and I know I'm good at jump roping. So jump roping is going to be the one thing that is going to potentially be in my favor as long as I don't kill my forearms in the row. But then again, if I'm trying to pull as hard as I can in a row, then that's going to force me to hold on to. So I feel like for me and for smaller athletes, going with the lower damper setting may be the way to go.
Cool.
And I'm thinking like a 2.5 to 3 minute pace.
I think that's a very solid pace. 2.5 minutes puts you at what, 7.5 minutes overall, or 7.5 rounds?
Something overall? Like that. Like, you know, trying to get around that 8 rounds. Cool. I think would be amazing for me, considering that at the, you know, like I struggle with lower back issues and I have for a very long time. It stems from all the years of gymnastics. And so I'm feeling very thankful that my back has been doing really well and it did not blow up after last week. And that was another reason why I purposely kept it slow last week, because long picture is that I just can enjoy the process and not kill myself and then spend 2 or 3 days where I just can't walk, which is what I've done in the past. So if I can get around 7.5, 8 rounds, that would be so good.
Cool. Love it. All right. I wanted to get a little bit more information from you guys, thinking about three different categories, thinking about like beginner athletes, intermediate athletes, and advanced athletes. And when I kind of want to categorize those, beginner athletes, I want you guys talking a little bit about like someone who maybe doesn't have any double unders at all, maybe trying for their first double under. I want you talking about somebody who thinks, who's going to be thinking that 185, 125 is heavy. That's kind of what we're looking at for those beginner athletes, those intermediate athletes, you know, somebody who's, they have some double unders. Maybe they're not always stringing them together. Maybe they're doing like a couple of singles and a double under, or maybe they've got like 5 to 10 double unders in a row. And then that deadlift is now feeling like a moderate weight. Like they could probably do a couple of rounds at the 185, maybe all 10 in a row. And then those advanced athletes, those are people that are like having no problem with the rowing, no problem with the deadlifts, no problem with the double unders. How should each of these groups approach this maybe differently? I'll start with Mr. JR first, and then we'll go to Mr. JC.
I would approach this with what I feel is going to benefit the athlete the most. So if it's a newer athlete who's already really nervous about doing the open, I would have them do the scaled version just because they're going to feel more success from the process of just getting through it without feeling deflated. If it's somebody who's in that more intermediate area, then if they can get through a good amount of double unders, like if I know like, hey, they can do five or single, double, and the weight is safe for them as well, I would encourage them to do the RX version because in the end, that's, you know, at least points wise. And I know we're, you know, they're not trying to get to the open, but in order to see more return for what they do, to be able to get a RX score versus a scaled score for many, I think would also be valuable. So I'm going to like defer that to each individual person on whether I, you know, they're on the cusp of, is it intermediate or beginner. I want to make sure that what they receive out of the experience is going to be what's best for that person.
Okay, cool.
Go. Just move. Like, I think you should, they're probably going to be able to do 10 unbroken or 5 and 5 the entire time. Unless they feel like for their safety, picking it up singles. I don't like doing lots of singles because my pull from the floor is always so difficult. So if I can pick it up and do 5 for my smaller frame, that's going to be easier than picking it up and dropping it because I have to brace and really like drive my feet into the floor to do it correctly. And the first pull is the worst pull for me. And I don't care what weight it is. It just is. So I think that 5 broken up at the least, for double unders, like, you know, don't look anywhere except where you normally look. Do not look at the clock when you double unders. That's the biggest mistake. And I fall into that trap too when I'm in the middle of a workout and I want to see how much time. And it always screws me up when my heart rate's high and I take my side of view from what I normally use to be successful and look up. This is when you really tell your judge, this is what I need from you. This is how I want you to count. Tell me if you want to know what the timestamp on the clock is. You tell them, I need you to tell me every time a minute passes or when we get to 5 till or whatever, versus changing your eyesight because that can really mess you up.
Cool. Jeremy, what about you? Beginner athlete, intermediate athlete. Is there like an amount of double unders that you think somebody should have before trying to do RX, or same thing with like the weight? You think there's something that they should have as far as like a weight on the deadlift, in order to do an RX versus a scaled version or anything like that? Or how would you kind of separate that beginner from an intermediate athlete?
Yeah. So one thing I tell my athletes, it normally is in the realm of muscle ups, but it applies with double unders too. Doing double unders and having double unders are two very different things. And we can execute a few here or there, but to like have them in your pocket ready to go, like, okay, this is the day. I mean, we all have handfuls of athletes that have been wrestling this oddly simple yet incredibly difficult little skill with a jump rope. And now, okay, pop quiz comes around. Here's 300 for your trouble, and sets of 50, and is going to feel unforgiving. So that's the first thing, is a conversation in that. Like, hey, like, if you are struggling to get your first one and it's single attempt, I'm going to push more towards the scaling because they need their fitness in this. I'm not looking for someone to be punished for 20 minutes for trying to learn a skill. Exactly. But if they're like, no, I can get me some healthy clumps of 5s and 6s here or there. Okay. Now that's a different conversation. One thing that I put in my coaching a lot, that when it comes to a double under, is a controlled break is going to be better than a trip every time. So yes. If you can do 5 and stop and then do another 5 and stop, that's going to be better than doing 8 and tripping and getting frustrated and then doing 3. It's you're going to be, you have 20 minutes of holding on here. So you have to be in control. So knowing your game, and whether it's 5, whether it's 10, whether it's 15, doesn't matter. You pick your number. And for those athletes that are still getting it, pick your number and hold that, not getting frustrated, trying to go for, all right, I'm going to Hail Mary it and go for 10 or 12 and then trip on 8 and be so defeated that I'm going to get angry through this.
There's going to be ropes being thrown across gym this Friday all over the world.
No, not.
You're going to see ropes hanging and rower chains and everything. So that's on the subject of the double unders. Now, the thing that popped into my head for different athletes and different levels on this is a very different workout for different skill levels. If you're going scaled, cool. You don't have to hide behind that technique thing. You hit your singles, you have to hit them fast. You are going to have a faster, more gnarly 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Because you don't have that barrier of entry with skill here.
You can do more work. Yeah.
And you can just hit the gas and go. And so your 20 minutes for the scaled division, in my opinion, is worse. Because you don't get the hype behind like, oh, the deadlift's heavy. It's cool. I'll take 10 seconds. It's like, nope, you have a lighter deadlift. You have single unders and you have the same amount of rowing. So you have to go get this work done. And we'll just call it the upper novice or lower intermediate. That's where we get into the conversation about the double unders. Now, for, let's just say our bread and butter athletes, our average Joes do enough RX to be dangerous. The past week and then this week is just a pretty accessible RX, all things considered. Mm-hmm. We don't have an absurd deadlift weight. We have a skilled movement, but it's not like a mind-blowing skill. It's something that some people are wrestling with, but it's something that could, pun intended, be stumbled through, and we could actually get there. So a couple of things that I think are going to apply to the masses on this, no matter what division you're in, is remembering smooth is fast. Your controlled brakes over your tripping, your smooth cadence on your rower. There's evidence right there on your monitor. It's going to tell you what your pace is. It's going to tell you what your strokes per minute are. If you need evidence, it's literally staring you in the face. And then with the deadlifts, same thing, a controlled brake versus going to failure. This is not as many reps as possible in that set of 10. It's do a set to get to 10. I'm a huge fan of big and little. Like, so versus a 5 and 5, I would do a 6-4 or 7-3. Just because in my brain, I know, cool, I don't want to pick it up, but at least it's not as bad as that last one I did. And mentally, I'm going to get back on that bar faster doing things like that.
I like
that. So transitions. There's your make or break for everybody. If you're going scaled and you're going fast, if you're going novice to intermediate and you're just trying to survive, or if you're expert, your transitions are going to make or break you. Put your rower handle down. Have your stirrups where you want them. Make a happy rope, make it a big smiley face every time you lay it down. You saw in the announcement today, both athletes got tripped up with their rope because it was tied in a knot.
Yeah.
I think Medeiros' rope had some issues. Colton was sitting there fiddling with his and actually lost his lead substantially in about round 4. It's just from them just throwing the rope down haphazardly and not thinking about what they're doing.
Yeah.
Smooth as fast in all things, your transitions, your movements, your mindset, everything. That's what's going to get you guys through this. Now, for your experts, your workout's different because intermediate, novice, everybody's going to cruise that row. If you're an expert and you want to go somewhere with this, that row's got to be punishment too.
Yeah.
You've got to push that pace. You got to keep that thing on that 145, that 150, and not let it go. Maybe even faster towards the end.
No way.
Yeah, you saw them.
No way. I mean,
they're in the 130s on their last row.
It's crazy.
But that's it. Like most people are going to have to just cruise and survive, hold that minute 15-ish on that row. But if you go in somewhere, if you want to go to Pasadena or wherever they're going to do semis this year or whatever, that row's a different game. That is a brisk pace, pushing closer to a minute, and then smooth and steady on everything else. But my main advice for most people, break before you have to and know when you're going to break so you stay on target.
I love it. Jeremy, you hit a lot of the things that I was actually thinking as well. For my beginner athletes, thinking scaled, if you can't get 4 rounds or 200 double unders, that's going to be outside of your purview. Like, doing scaled is going to be a better option for you. I think you're right. Like, there's just no reason to punish yourself for 20 minutes and not have double unders. So you should be shooting for at least that 4 round mark if you'd like to try to attack that RX. So I think that was a huge one. And if you are doing scaled, then it's like you kind of got to push your paces a little bit because you're going to do some singles and you're going to do some lighter deadlifts. That intermediate athlete, I loved like the slow is smooth and smooth is fast. I think that's going to be huge for that intermediate athlete is break when you want to, not when you have to. That was going to be my big piece of advice as well. You know, I think that we're going to catch a lot of people going out way too hot for this. So I think that maybe even those intermediate athletes picking like, hey, how long do you want to your row to take and stay on that time? If you go faster than that, rest until your time, like transition and rest to your time. If you know those deadlifts are going to get heavy in round five, break it up how you want to break it up in round one. Don't be like, oh, I'll wait till round five to break it up. And then those advanced athletes, I think you were spot on again with like transitions. Like transitions were going to be the biggest factor for those people. It was like transitioning from the rower to the deadlifts and then the deadlifts with the jump rope. If you're not putting the jump rope down perfectly and you're not able to get in and out of that rower really, really smooth and really quick, like if you're looking at 10, 11, 12 rounds and you're taking away 1 to 3 seconds on those transitions, that adds up a lot.
Absolutely.
So I think that was a huge piece that I was going to bring up as well for those advanced athletes. We've all kind of gave a little bit of thoughts on how we're going to approach it, but I want to know predictions for each of us. I want JR to tell me, or I want Jeremy to tell me, then JR, and then I'll give our initial thoughts on like how many rounds do we think we're going to do? Don't give me your whole breakdown. I just want to know how many rounds you think you're going to make in this. And we'll start with Jeremy.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to see a display of mediocrity, let me tell you, this workout has got my number. Based off kind of what, I had a couple athletes go at it earlier, and like I feel like I land right in the middle of them. I'm shooting for a healthy 7. There is no strength in me for this one. Maybe the double unders, but I'm not the world's greatest rower. And if I never deadlifted again, it'd be too soon. I'd rather clean. They make it 10 cleans at 185. I'd love it so much more. But something about the deadlift is just not my jam. But looking at the pacing, playing that long game of like keep your rounds under 3 minutes and, you know, have like a little bit left in the tank to push it up and make up some ground as you go. I think that will land a lot of people a healthy 7 rounds. Cool. But if you go chasing that 2.5 minute pace thinking you're going to get 8 and then you fall off to 3:15, you can walk away with 6+ and be kind of annoyed at yourself. And then yep. God forbid you have to redo this on Monday. Now you've given 40 minutes of your life to this workout.
Yeah, I will not be redoing.
Healthy no, 7 no. Can making round 1 look like round 6 and 7.
Yes.
That's going to be my game.
Yeah. JR? Yeah, I agree also. I love double unders. That's like one of my favorite things to do, so I at least have the solace in knowing that I have something. I'm also not a great rower. I don't have that quick twitch muscle fiber and like a big drive through my lower body. I mean, if I have a weakness, it's my legs. It's the strength. I have the endurance. So if this was like a run as far as you can in 20 minutes, that would be completely different. So for me, I have to make sure that I'm saving energy in the row and not going more than like a 75 or 80% at any moment. Otherwise, the deadlifts, and then it's going to catch up with me with my one good skill. So I'm just going to say a 2.5 to 3 minute pace. That's my goal. Just to stay within. And so whatever that equals, I'm not even going to figure that out. I'm just going to say 2.5 to 3 minutes.
7+ then.
Thanks. I didn't need that, but thanks. I don't need the pressure. I hate him.
No, we're all here to have fun. We're all here to have fun. And all of us know that. There's no redoing this. I think I'm going to try to be at that like 9 to 10 range. I'm going to try to be at 2 minutes per round.
9 to 10 rounds?
Yeah.
You heard it first like here, ladies and gentlemen.
Is that obnoxious? They were doing like 12 rounds in this.
They did 11 plus some row.
Yeah. I don't think I'm going to get nearly that close, but I think I'll be.
Okay.
I think,
you know, 10 is close to 11, right?
And 9 is close to 10. As soon as he goes, I will be texting Jeremy to be like, "Our boy, I'm going to live stream this again." So.
Now, I'll fully admit that Colby is more fit than me. So, like, I Like, you go off, King, but
hey, maybe, yeah, maybe.
I don't know. Maybe, yeah. Maybe I'm, well, we'll find out here tomorrow night out. If I completely overestimated myself. Let's say nine. I'll say nine rounds in. I'll try to get nine rounds. I'm going to try to go hard, but I haven't done any testing. I've just done some rehearsals in my head a couple of times. Last thing I want to know is I want you to think of somebody from your space that you think is going to be crushing this workout or will do really, really well at it. And we'll start with JR and then we'll go over to Jeremy.
Man, I have so many gyms and so many people.
Yeah, I know. So give me one from each.
All right, one from each. Okay. So we'll start with Crosstown. I think Coach Robert is going to do really well. He's a taller athlete. He's young. He's like 24 years old. And that helps. He's a good rower. He has like mental capacity where he'll just like close his eyes and just like keep working. So, you know, he's hurting, but he's able to kind of decompartmentalize it. So I judged him last week when he went through and he just never stopped, kept going. And then I would say from horsepower, I'm going to say we have a guy from Paris. His name is Roman Bianchi. And he is also a little taller. I would say, like, forgive me if I'm wrong, Roman. I think he's probably like 5'11". And the deadlift is going to be super easy for him. And great jump roper. And I think he's going to do really well with that one. And then from here in Oxnard, I would like to say Kyle W. His double unders have gotten better.
Mm-hmm.
He's tall, so his row is great. He's a good rower. I mean, if we're talking, I'm going to say, I think Kyle will do well. I know there'll be somebody else that might come to me, but he's really the only one who RX across the board who I think he always is a safe bet.
Cool. Kyle Waller. Jeremy, CFTO winner.
CFTO winner? I don't even know if it'll be like top of the top, but someone that we were chatting about earlier that we're pretty excited to see do this is Coach Cheyenne. She, about 5'6", 5'7", used to be a distance runner, killer on the rower, double unders for days, strong That's as hell. So the deadlifts are going to go well, but that mental pace and being able to hold on to it and not get frustrated, not go too fast, not go too slow, but just hold that standard for 20 minutes. It's going to be her. And then I would say, got a guy named Peter. Peter's who we call a dark horse. He comes out of nowhere and just crushes random workouts. Mm-hmm. If his double unders behave and he stays in control, he's probably 6'2", tall, long guy, great engine. Yeah. 185 is no problem. So him on that rower, his cruising pace is going to be a faster cruising pace than most, just from body mechanics alone. So those would be the two that I'd have my eye on that if nothing else, they're going to put on a hell of a show.
I love that. My guess would be somebody with an engine, and I'm actually thinking on the female side. I think this is going to be a really good one for Nikki, not Nick.
Yeah.
Nikki, lighter on the deadlifts, 125 deadlifts is no problem. She's a taller athlete, 5'6", 5'7", and has gotten in the last year way, 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 way better at double unders where she's consistent. She's a little bit slow on double unders, but I don't think it's going to really matter on the double unders. It's going to be
going to go unbroken on those deadlifts, I bet, the entire time.
Every time. Yeah, she will for sure go unbroken.
Which will be huge for someone who can.
Trying to think of somebody else. Madison Kisner on the female end will also be a very strong athlete for this.
I totally forgot about her.
She's an excellent rower. She is deadlifts. She's got like over 300-pound deadlifts. So deadlifts will be super light for her. And she's great on the jump rope too. So,
and she's like just has that mental capacity to just kind of push when there's pain. She's like a fighter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then in the masters category, I actually think for men, because it'll be lighter, I think Scott Deardorff.
I was thinking about him earlier also.
He's got a massive, massive engine. He's 61, but he can double under like no problem.
Yeah.
And 125 deadlifts.
He can row too. He hangs with Kyle.
You're right. So that could be a really good sleeper pick as well. Cool. Super excited. We'll be doing this tomorrow night, Friday Night Lights. Are you guys doing Friday Night Lights as well?
Yep.
So we got lots of heats going on tomorrow night. We'll get this episode to you guys tonight. Thanks for listening. We're excited to have one more guest coming on next week. Next week, we've got Mr. Pat Barber coming on the show.
Oh,
yeah. And we'll have another fun episode for you. Jeremy, thank you so much for coming.
Thanks for having me, guys.
It's always great to hang out with you, get to pick your ear off a little bit. JR, it's awesome having you here too.
Thanks.
For different reasons. Yeah, that's it. Sign us off.
Emmanuel, that was so good. Go again.
3, 2, 1.
Live.